On the Fly with Jaymon G. On the Fly is on the air.
And yes, we are, and we're back at the LSA Mall on a beautiful Friday afternoon. You're listening to EAA Radio, and I'm joined by Charles Stites, the Executive Director of Able Flight. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Jeff. Happy to be here.
So tell our listeners all about Able Flight.
Well, Able Flight's a scholarship program, and what's unique about it, besides the fact that it's the only one in the United States doing this, is that we provide flight training for people with physical disabilities. And we take them up to a sport pilot level, get them licensed. Over the past few years, we've had 19 people licensed through our program.
Where is Able Flight based?
It's based in North Carolina, but it's a national program. We've done flight training all around the country. We are specializing, actually, in the last 2 years of working with Purdue University during the summer. So a lot of our flight training has taken place in Lafayette, Indiana. But we've done it in, I think, 7 states. We have scholarship winners from all over the country.
So you don't have to be going to a particular school? It doesn't have to be an aviation program, or does it have to be an aviation program?
Well, we work with FBO, flight training operations at FBOs in several locations, particularly in Philadelphia and Atlanta. But we started the summer program with Purdue to provide this intensive training experience for people. They live in university housing. They fly with university instructors in adapted aircraft that we provide for that purpose.
So what is the process that one would go through? First of all, what are the requirements for somebody who wants to apply?
Well, if they have a significant physical disability, about 70% of our scholarship winners are people that use wheelchairs. We have wounded veterans, and they have a variety of issues, loss of limb, that type of thing. So I just typically say a significant physical disability, and then we look at the application. They find us on our website, ableflight.org. They find an application form that they can download. They fill that out, send it in. We start the review process. For select people, we do in-person interviews, and then we have a scholarship committee that determines who will get an award.
And how long does that typically take?
Typically just a few months, and it really depends on how our funding is at a certain time as to how many awards we can hand out. We've given out over 30 scholarships since I started the organization in 2006. What we cover is flight training, ground training, travel, lodging, testing, books and manuals. Everything but the food while they're there, and if they need a rental car, they have to cover that themselves.
Wow, that's quite a program.
It's incredibly rewarding, and I think the fact that I built the program using corporate sponsorships primarily and a few grants and individual donations, but I think the fact that we have all of our sponsors back year after year speaks to the success of the program and how they see our scholarship winners doing. We've sent 19 people for check rides and all have passed.
That's so. A very good pass rate. Can't beat 100%.
Right. Well, and actually, another rate that we're very proud of is our completion rate, because I think most people have heard that the national completion rate for people that begin flight training is between 25 and 30%. Of the people that we've given scholarships for to go get a license, we're up over 70%. And that speaks, I think, to how we run the program in part, but really speaks to the individuals that we select, their willingness to meet a challenge, their work ethic, and the fact that maybe they have something to prove. But we have a very high success rate in both people that complete, and then when those that do complete and go for a check ride, it's been 100%.
So tell us about some of your favorites this year.
Well, we had 4 people go to Purdue this summer. We've had 5 people get licensed already this year, but 4 at Purdue. And I won't pick a favorite, but I'll tell you a little snapshot on each one of them. We have a young man named Kevin Crombie from Southeastern Virginia. He was the first to finish. And Kevin's been in a wheelchair since he was a child due to the results of a virus. And he's technically a quadriplegic. And so he flies the adapted airplane, and he can use his hands to some degree, but he flies the adapted airplane. He was the first of the 4 up there that got his license this year. And by the way, we also beat the national average on number of hours to some degree, and that's because we do intensive training. Number 2 up there this year was a fellow named Eric Ingram, also from Southeastern Virginia, also a quadriplegic.
Wow.
Physics student, just a really wonderful kid, very small in stature, but huge in heart and determination. Number 3 was a young woman who's deaf, Coral Cudmore. She's a student at Holy Cross as their first deaf student. And that presented its own challenges, did wonderfully. And number four was a wounded veteran, Jermaine Strachan, a two-time Purple Heart recipient, who is now a licensed pilot by training at Purdue this summer.
Wow, that is great. So you were telling me about a ceremony that you had?
Yeah, that was here on Tuesday morning, the 26th, in ConocoPhillips Plaza. And it's actually our fourth year in a row that we've done that. Those who complete training get a set of Able Flight wings. I can't wear them. None of our sponsors get a set, only the pilots, and after they've completed the training. So three of the four that went to Purdue this year were able to be here this week, and they received their wings in a ceremony on a beautiful Tuesday morning out here with a very appreciative audience. It's very touching because you visually can see what they've been dealing with, but you see how far they've come.
Tell us a little bit about the aircraft that are used for the Able Flight program.
Sure. For those who need an adapted airplane that can be flown entirely by hand, there's this wonderful airplane imported from Italy called the Sciro. It's an LSA, and we do our training to support pilot level, so that's all very appropriate. The Sciro can be flown entirely by hand or can be flown by pilot who doesn't need those controls. We've been using that since 2007 when we started training, and we've had about, 13 or 14 people licensed in that airplane.
That's the Hansen Aero group, right?
Hansen Aero imports that airplane, and actually the Hansens have been instrumental to our success early on because they had that airplane available. They let me know about it when I started Able Flight, and they supported Able Flight with some training and free training for our first couple of students and helped us kick off the program.
Well, that's helpful.
It was wonderful. It was
that's
wonderful.
Some good sponsorship right there.
And I thank you for saying sponsor because that it's a good time for me to say that there are a lot of other people that step up and make this possible. We are a 501c3, and so people can make donations, of course, but we've had corporate sponsors like Bombardier, Cessna, Jet Aviation, Perrone Aerospace, Aircraft Spruce, Sennheiser. All of these people have stepped up and helped Able Flight now for several years.
Are there any other aircraft on the horizon besides the Sciro?
The Flight Design CT now has hand controls approved for it, and the first set of controls were installed in one a couple of months ago. We haven't had a test, an opportunity to really test that, but actually we're going to send one of our already licensed pilots out to an FBO in Colorado Springs that has that airplane and let them do an evaluation. They know how to fly by hand, as this young man does, and so he'll be out with an opportunity to fly it for 4 or 5 hours and be able to tell us how that well boat works. We're also working to try to get hand controls in the Cessna Skycatcher. And that airplane, there's a lot of those are going to be out there, so that would be an important development.
Well, and I think if Cessna is a sponsor of your program, they would be interested in doing that.
They're actually, we're all talking about this on a serious level. There's engineering involved already, so I think that could happen. We may be 6 months or a year, but I think that could happen.
Excellent. So what's happening this year going forward? What are you looking forward to?
We also started a career training scholarship, and we had our first person here Tuesday receive his award for that. He's already been trained, and he's now a light sport repairman with a maintenance rating. So we're working with someone to on both sides of this, on the pilot side and on the maintenance side of it, and we're going to grow that, and we're also going to grow our project at Purdue next year to include even more students.
Wow, that's great. Man, that is fantastic. Dan, you're back. Join us. Dan Johnson.
The had man to come back here to the center of action again.
The so. Man with the plan for LAMA. We have about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about safety.
Okay, safety. We got a lot of it around here. Actually, I got to say that the LSA community, a bunch of so-called unregulated folks building airplanes, looking sort of willy-nilly to some observers. The truth of it is, while we've had some losses, and every one of those is certainly lamentable, and while you could always do better, the safety record of the LSA community has been quite good. And even NTSB and FAA are out there saying that in public settings, so it's not just a promoter like me. That's the fact of it. Now, you can always do better. And transition training is one of the places where we can certainly do better. And there's a lot of qualified pilots that are buying these things that are hesitant to take a full 5 hours like the insurance industry would like you to take. And I'm kind of one of those. Gee, what am I going to do after the first couple hours and 14 or 15 landings? Is there really more? But, you know, it's a good thing to know what all the knobs and switches do before you go up and commit aviation.
That's true. What's happening with the latest effort to change some parts of the LSA regulation?
Well, they're in constant change. The ASTM committees wrote all this stuff, but they didn't just go home after that. They just keep right on working. They were working here again this week. Electric power is one of the hot items that they're working hard on. IMC, or flight into cloud conditions, is something they're working on, specifically a standard so that a manufacturer knows what to meet with his airplane so that he can say, I've met the standards, it now works to do that kind of flying. You can do it today. There's no prohibition against it from FAA. It's the ASTM committee saying, we really ought to have a standard so that the manufacturers know what they're supposed to be doing. They're hard at work on that. And in other ways, audit standards, which ultimately provide for safety by saying, Mr. Manufacturer, did you do everything you were supposed to, and can you show that you did? Which is also good when they find themselves in a court of law or something ugly like that. And so all of those things have taken good progress this week. But I got to just kind of summarize it here. This has been a fine week for light sport aircraft. Aircraft are selling. I've had more conversations than I can really relate right now that have all been sort of upbeat and positive. And that's a difference from just here last year when people were sort of hopeful, but it wasn't real strong. This year, from both sellers, from just individuals coming out looking at airplanes, there seems to be life in the party again. And of that, I'm really pleased to report.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dan. You know, I always love coming, spending my Friday of AirVenture Week with you guys, because everyone has smiles on by the end of the week over here. Some of the other areas, they're just worn out and want to go home, but not here in light sport.
We want Oshkosh to go for 2 weeks. No, I'm kidding. Did I say that out loud on the radio? Oh, my gosh. No, we don't want that, but thanks so much for coming down here to the light sport area. We do have a lot of fun down here. This is the inspirational end of aviation, you might say, and we certainly appreciate you folks coming down here broadcasting.
And Charles Stites from Able Flight, thank you for joining us today as well.
Thank you, Jeff. And if I may, I encourage people to go to ableflight.org and learn about how to apply for a scholarship or if they want to help us.
Okay, great. Jaymont G, we are on the fly tomorrow at the seaplane base at 1 o'clock. So if you have not hopped on the bus and gone over to the seaplane base, that's a good excuse to do it. It's come see us at EA Radio tomorrow, 1 o'clock at the seaplane base. Jaymont G, we are signing off. See you tomorrow. We're on the fly.